This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions. On the show today, we have Crow's very own Tom Grotke sharing with us their 41st Bank Compensation and Benefits Survey. Oh my gosh, did we take a deep dive into this information? Great, great stuff here. Great takeaways from Tom. So I hope you guys check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Crow's very own Tom Grotke on the program. Tom, how are you, sir?
Good. Great to be here.
Good, good. Well, glad you're here as well, because we have some important stuff to talk about. We have it's that time of the year again. We always have you guys on about this time of the year, talking about your bank compensation and benefits survey. I just found out it's the 41st one. My gosh, you guys have been doing this for over 40 years now. Well done.
Thank you. Great. So really, it's a, you know, important document to the industry and instructional to our professionals too.
No doubt. I would love to compare year one to year 41. So this is your 41st one. That would be interesting just to see the vast differences that are going on out there right now. So, but yeah, I don't know if that would be any good, but it would just be kind of interesting to see the differences of what's going on back then compared to what's going on now. So set the stage here, Tom. So can you give us a quick overview of this year's survey? What was kind of the main theme there? Because I was going over it myself, and it looks like turnover seemed to be kind of the theme of this year's survey. So give us a quick overview.
Sure. No, and obviously, as we prepare the annual survey, you know, some current events going on, and we've been coming, you know, this was it was kicked off in the spring of 2022. So we're in theory coming out of COVID after our 18 to 24 months.
Thank goodness.
So there was some emphasis on, you know, elements still with COVID, like remote work and things like that. But the majority of the data, which is very consistent every year, we really try to do, is compensation and benefits. Mm-hmm. So that people can understand every single position. I think there's 271 positions. We had, you know, 400 and what was our number? 430 respondents this year. We averaged around 425 to 500.
Okay.
A good segment, you know, a large number of those in that, you know, under 250 million, under 500 million. But we have a good section of a dozen or more over 5 billion with an average size of 12 billion. So you can, within the reports, actually look at size differential, scale differential. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We also sort it by kind of large population centers, over 200,000 in, you know, population centers, okay. Those institutions in that versus less than that. As you'd expect, a couple of things that we kind of put out there new. Questions on ESG, questions on, you know, kind of responding to the post-pandemic mm-hmm. situation. But it is also focused heavily on the HR department to give the HR executives, you know, their staffing, their structure, where they outsource, you know, what are their current, you know, kind of issues, needs, problems, areas of focus. Mm-hmm. That gives the HR departments a little bit of ammo when they can sit there and say, well, where are we focused? How are we staffed? What are our big issues?
Yeah.
You know, how are we getting our jobs done? Because you got performance measurement as well as comp benefits, et cetera, right? Yeah. So that's an important piece. I think it's also important that everybody gets a sense that, you know, we go into a lot of detail. We got retirement plans, lots of detail on incentive compensation plans, training programs, again, to help the HR department advise the executives of the financial institution, you know, types of HR plans, and obviously the comp metrics, right? Oh, yeah. 25th, 50th, 75th percentile changes, base pay, incentive compensation pay, bonus pay, as well as all of the kind of recognition and rewards. There's a long list of percentages of those institutions that do certain things, that don't do certain things, because I know the management and HR really trying to figure out, can't all just be pay, right? Can't all be pay. And we constantly search surveys from the industry that talk about, you know, it's not always pay. That's the number one, you know, decision for me to take a job or to leave a job.
Right.
However, as we approach 2022, and whether you're a big believer in inflation or whatever, compensation rose. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Okay. If you have some questions. You mentioned turnover factors, which is one of the underlying factors that, you know, I think we'd be hard pressed to not blame the rising cost of living, the rising wage structure, but that's driven by the economics of supply and demand. I mean, I'm not CPA, no surprise. When supply is short, demand's high,
of course,
prices go up, and yep. labor especially.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, because and this type of information is always important to know, especially on an annual basis. But I think this year it's more important than ever, just to, with just what's been going on in the labor market, and then obviously what's going on in the financial services industry as well, and trying to retain these people and dealing with the turnover and all that type of stuff. So having said that, can you share maybe a couple of findings that really stuck out for you this year?
Yeah, I think, it's not a surprise, being a consultant, working with, dozens and dozens of financial institutions from de novo up to maybe 20 billion is my client base, mostly in that 1 to 5 billion. Top of mind issue, finding and hiring the right people. Right. Not surprised. Right. It is, right. It has been a long time issue to get lenders, been a long time issue to get information technology expertise for in-house.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly as we've gone with digital banking over the last, decade and further expansion of that, just additional technology skills, putting skills. So finding and hiring people, very tough. What was surprising to me was that I would have thought the time to fill the open position would have been a lot longer. It still kind of hovered on the averages, small, medium, large institutions, city and non-city, really about a month, month and a half. And I mean, most of my direct one-on-one client conversations will tell me it's months. So right. I think it probably weighted by still the majority positions are teller. I mean, it has been fundamental, a member service rep, a teller, pick your institution.
Right.
There's always been a lower pay, high turnover, high area of activity. I still think there's a weighting there. And that's surprising when we continue to see, universal bankers and people moving away from the branch and again, ITMs and things, but tellers, that frontline service rep is still so important. Yeah. And we know if we go back to, I don't know exactly, let's just say somewhere around 2019, when there was a lot of pressure on that minimum wage, right? Mm-hmm. And there was discussion of $15 an hour for, pick the industry, but our lowest paid industry, individuals are those first line employees, those frontline member service reps and tellers, maybe back then making $11, $12, and all of a sudden McDonald's, are getting 15.
Yeah.
That's fast forward to 20. I mean, right now, everybody 22? I talk to that means starting salaries in these jobs are $20 an hour.
Yeah.
Now you can still get 16 or 18, but so that kind of is rolling, but I think it does take longer to fill those higher positions. Yeah. The other thing on turnover was we asked about younger employees, right? Younger talent.
Sure.
And and we asked questions about how is your experience with that? Is it getting harder, easier, no impact? And we do have a multi-year chart in there. It was funny that it was certainly averaging more towards it's getting harder to attract and retain the younger talent. Probably the more important statistic that I think stands out for the industry. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think credit unions are better than banks in this, but is that we still have an older workforce. I mean, the vast majority, we sorted it by all those different segments, size, region, type, mm-hmm. population, constantly that 55 to 65 age group is the largest population of employees.
Really?
That's not sustainable. Ladies and gentlemen,
we've
got to get younger talent. We've got to attract them.
So was there anything else that really kind of stood out to you as far as, cause you talked about the surprising part of it, and then anything else that kind of stuck out for you?
We did ask about remote work coming out of the pandemic, still coming out. And that was also surprising. It was about a 50-50. Those that felt remote work would be retained, that those that felt, I think it was 48% said no, and 52% said yes. I thought, that is clearly, as I kind of think about it, I guess it is about right. It is about 50% of my clients, everybody's back in the office, 50% they're not. So.
Yeah.
I think the study kind of proved that out. It probably varies more by geography and region, I bet. We didn't really do that analysis, but at the high level, it was about 50-50. The other one, which was kind of new, was ESG. And I mean, ESG from an HR perspective isn't probably the most, number one focus, but we did ask about what are you doing on that? And still a pretty significant majority, again, majority of these are smaller institutions, mm-hmm. have not really kind of implemented any kind of ESG program.
Okay.
But about 38% have various levels of things going on. So there's some progress there.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that the younger generations are really interested in that. because I think that really, at least from the folks that I've talked to, that really resonates with the younger generations kind of moving up into the, you know, the higher ranks of an organization. So that's actually, you know, something we didn't really talk about, you know, 10 years ago or so. So now it's really percolated to the top, which is a good thing. So yeah. So, and to attract that younger talent, this is something that you have to address. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So was there anything vastly different in the previous year or two? I mean, I know we're still kind of feeling the fallout of COVID. So that what you brought up about the remote work is obviously still a big deal. But was there anything else that kind of stuck out for you, especially a difference, you know, the difference makers, you know, in the last year or two compared to what's going on right now?
Yeah. What really shot up a lot was the compensation to the best performers. So we asked raises towards, you know, top performers, middle performers, low performers. And the high performers got a 1% adjustment on average. That's a very significant jump in compensation. Yeah. But rewarding the top performers, in the averages were 8.5. But what it showed was low performers got nothing. So there is a real emphasis on pay for performance.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Which is a good thing. So that's, you know, you want to have incentive in your job. So what was that number again? What was that percentage again that went up?
It was, it jumped up a 10% average raise for the high performers, 8.5% average raise for the average performers. Okay. And the low performers were 1.8%. Yeah, so kind of the low performers did not get, right, you know, inflation.
Right, right. So good deal. So overall, what lessons did we learn here from these findings? Because it sounds like there's a lot. Obviously, we're just kind of scratching the surface here. But what, I mean, just based on what you've seen so far and what you and the folks you've talked to, what lessons have we learned from here, or the takeaways rather?
Emphasis on training and development, right? Motivating employees, training employees. Those are important HR initiatives, greater emphasis on those. And it was leadership training as well as skills training were in the top five of those HR issues after recruiting, right? So recruiting was number one. Yep. But as you'd expect, the emphasis on development and training, there was a number of elements discussed about alternatives to pay compensation. So the reward programs, the other types of incentive comp programs, I think are important information for the financial institutions to look at. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's only so much we can sustain a 10% increase in base pay for our top performers. It's great that people are being rewarded, but it's also not sustainable. And we have to find ways to make the job interesting, rewarding, exciting, and career pathing. Yeah. So I think that's got to be an area as we look into next year's is what are the HR divisions doing from a career pathing, skills development, and really retention strategies. They talk about some of those. Yeah. But I think our team is saying we're going to try to dig a little deeper into that next year as we get another year away from, quote, the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. As things continue to shake out, for sure, things are going to settle and it'd be really interesting. I think 2023 is going to be a very interesting year in this regard. So my last thing I wanted to talk to you about was, and just super quick, and if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But did you guys address like the 4-day work week or anything like that? Was that ever brought up? Or, I mean, you're smiling.
So it wasn't as specific about that, but it was work hours and flexibility was mentioned, right? So that's where I think they started to allude to those strategies. And I think that's where we want to dig a little deeper. So they will see lists of those non-compensation incentives, benefit plans, programs that are being introduced.
Okay. Yeah. I'm starting to hear more and more about that. I think we'll hear more about that in 2023 as well. So, alrighty, sir, anything else to add, wrap up here, Tom? I mean, this is fantastic.
So we talked a little about turnover. I guess the last thing to talk about is the non-officer, officer retention was strong. So that stayed at a very good level.
Okay.
That, you know, the more, you know, you figure your senior executive in a department, your top two or three, that officer level stayed very, you know, low turnover.
Huh.
So that's probably something, you know, at all sizes, all levels. So we're clearly demonstrating a pretty solid career path. Now that could be weighted to that age factor, right? I'm 55, 56, 57. I've been here 15, 20 years. You can take that with a plus or you can take that with a minus. So, But the interesting fact, the non-officer turnover, which you alluded to very early, jumped significantly.
Yeah,
jumped from a 16% pre-COVID level up to 23%, or during COVID it was down up to 23%, up to kind of pre-COVID levels again.
Wow.
But I don't think a 25, you know, a quarter of your non-officer workforce turnover a year, that is also expensive. So, really? You know, and if they're low performers, they're not getting paid. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But they can't be that many low performers. And we just talked about this gap in having middle-age employment. You know, we certainly see some kind of a bell curve.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just be at this older age group. We've got to get a lower level of retention there.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll shake out, you know, the pandemic a little bit, the compensation adjustments. But personally, I just think that I don't think individuals understand what it is to be a credit union or bank. Everybody thinks of Wall Street. Reality is, you know, commercial banks and thrifts and credit unions, they're hometown financial institutions, even if they're pretty big. And, mm-hmm. you know, a commercial loan, a residential mortgage, a checking account, it's not sexy. We understand that. But this isn't Wall Street. And this is one of our industry problems. We just are not educating the collegiate age individuals as well as the young adults as to mm-hmm. an incredible career opportunity in marketing, in retail banking, in member service, right, in management of these really important institutions. So I think that somehow or another, the 25% turnover is just a tough one for our
industry. Yeah. And like you said, it's expensive too. So you talk about inflation on the retail side, but man, onboarding new employees and things like that, whew, that is expensive. So yeah, so we can, the best to kind of keep them there and how to retain them. So yeah, big issues to address here the rest of the year and into 2023 as well. So, oh my gosh, Tom, this was fantastic stuff. Oh my, much more than I bargained for. So thank you so much for this. Great information. This is a lot of great takeaways that credit unions and other financial institutions can certainly take away. And we'll put the link in the show notes to the whole study so people can get to it as well. So yeah, again, we just scratched the surface here. So yeah, a lot more to this. You guys do such a fantastic job in digging deep into this and getting some great information out there. So we appreciate your efforts.
400 pages. 400
is that pages all? Of data. It's the winds of war. All right.
And this is an old guy manual, right? It is electronic. I'm just saying in paper, if we did print it, it's 400 pages.
Oh, but it's all fantastic information. Fantastic. Tons of takeaways. So good stuff. All right, Tom. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Thank you so much again for your time. Appreciate this information. And we will get this out there for folks out there. And we'll send you the link. You guys can share it as well. But yeah, again, thank you for your time. Great stuff.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Anytime. This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.